This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
If you've joined us on the radio, it's lovely to have you with us. And joining us here at St. John's in Parramatta, my name is Bruce Morrison. And today we're looking a little further at this little book of Lamentations, so you might want to keep that open as you have it in front of you. The year 587 BC. 587 years before Christ, was not a good year for Jerusalem, not a good year for the nation of Israel. Jerusalem was the last city standing against the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The city had been under siege for 2 years, surrounded by the Babylonian soldiers, no way in, no way out. Outside the city was death by the sword, inside the city was death by starvation. How bad was it? Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 10. With their own hands, compassionate women have cooked their own children who became their food when my people were destroyed. Inconceivably horrible. And what happened at the end? It's described for us in 2 Kings in chapter 25. The famine in the city had become so severe that there was no food for the people to eat. And then the city wall was broken through and the whole army fled at night through the gate between the two walls near the king's garden, though the Babylonians were surrounding the city. Desperation. They fled towards the Jordan Valley, but the Babylonian army pursued King Zedekiah and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. He was taken to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where sentence was pronounced. They killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and then they put out his eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. The last thing that King Zedekiah saw was the death of his sons. Thousands were put to the sword. Thousands were marched in shackles to Babylon, 1,400 kilometres away. The city was looted and burned to the ground, and the temple was torn down stone by stone. Today we're looking at the book of Lamentations. It's a book of lament, that is, it's a book of mourning and grieving for Jerusalem, for all that had been and was no longer. Most of the book of Lamentations is an acrostic. It's a poem based on the Hebrew alphabet. It begins with the words, "How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she who once was great among the nations." The book is a witness to the suffering of the elderly as they watch infant grandchildren die. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. My people are destroyed. Children and infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is bread?" as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. This was the end of Jerusalem. It was the end of Israel. Centuries before, God had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Centuries before, God had given them his covenant. Yahweh had given them the land which he had promised on oath to their fathers, Abraham, would be theirs. Yahweh had chosen his servant David to be king over them and given him victory over the nations. And now Yahweh, God himself, had become Israel's enemy and handed them over without pity. You see, Lamentations makes it absolutely clear God had done this. Lamentations chapter 2 verse 4, "Like an enemy the Lord has strung his bow. His right hand is ready. Like a foe, he has slain all who were pleasing to the eye. He has poured out his wrath like fire. The Lord is an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for the daughter of Judah. He has laid waste his own dwelling. The Lord has rejected his altar and his sanctuary. Look, O Lord, consider. Whom have you ever treated like this? Should women eat their offspring, the children they have cared for? Should priests and prophets be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old die together in the dust of the streets. My young men and maiden have fallen by the sword. You have slain them. In the day of your anger, you have slaughtered them without pity. Not for this prophet, the false refuge that reduces God to a spectator who permits evil, but would himself never bring suffering. No, no. This is brought about by the Lord. Lamentations faces off squarely and recognizes that this was God's doing. Now, sometimes people question the morality of God in the Old Testament. Didn't God command the Israelites to destroy the Canaanites and kill them? Surely that's immoral. What sort of a God is this? But people forget that the Canaanites were destroyed not for the advantage of Israel, but because of their great sin. They sacrificed their own children in the flames of their altars to their false gods. Those children's bones are being recovered in archaeological sites and digs to this very day. But if God didn't spare the Canaanites, then God would not spare Israel either. Israel now was paying for her sin. Jerusalem was eating the fruit of her idolatry. Judah discovered this, that their God is impartial, beholden to no man. God can use Israel, or he can use the Babylonians. God can judge the Canaanites, but he will also judge Israel. Either way, it is God's judgment. So, this destruction isn't just a physical destruction. That would be bad enough. But for the author of Lamentations, no, this was theological. It was about God. Israel was cut off from God. Lamentations 4:16, the Lord himself has scattered them. He no longer watches over them. That is the terror of the book here. The God who brought Israel out of Egypt on wings like the eagle has flown away. He has finally had enough. He has forsaken them because for generation after generation, they had forsaken him. So, who were they going to turn to? Who do you turn to when God himself has abandoned you? This is the conundrum of the book of Lamentations. Who would you turn to if God was justly angry with you for your sins? I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and makes me walk in darkness. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me. He has walled me in so that I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. Who do you call when God has turned his face away? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 is the exact center of this poetic book. And it says this: yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed utterly. for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. From the depths of his despair and grief, even from the pit of Israel's guilt, the prophet still knows the character of his God. He trusts in God because of who God is. And despite everything, there is no one else to call. And if God doesn't answer, well, then still I will wait on him. I will sit in silence and wait quietly for God and for his salvation. They had lost every physical manifestation of the presence of God. God's temple, God's dwelling place, was razed to the ground. There was no sacrifice for sin that they could rely on. There was no altar upon which to make it. Jerusalem, the city of Zion, was destroyed, and the land that God had given them was overrun by a nation without mercy. What did they have left? It was all gone. What did they have left? The covenant itself was smashed. What did they have left? Only this: the character of their God. He does not change. I will sit in silence and wait quietly for God and for his salvation. So now I want us to leave Jerusalem. I want us to leave ruined Jerusalem, and we come 600 years forward in time to a ruined man. A ruined man, matted bloody hair from a crown of thorns, the skin shredded on his back, blood oozing out from the nails in his hands, his eyes misty from the waves of pain and grief. We come to the man on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? See, like Jerusalem, he was abandoned by God. His own father, the very one who had sent him into the world, the one that he trusted and relied on, his father left him. Pinned, helpless to a beam, bleeding and suffocating on a cross of wood. But Jesus' suffering was worse than Jerusalem in 587 BC. You see, at least they knew they were suffering justly. They were bearing the cost of their idolatry. God had made them his bride, and they had played the harlot. But Jesus had done no wrong. Even on the cross, he never blasphemed the name of his Father. He loved his Father with all of his heart, only for his Father to hand him over to his enemies, given up by the very one that he trusted. This wasn't justice. This was the most gross injustice ever perpetrated. And like the author of Lamentations, Jesus knew this. It was God's doing. It was God's judgment. It was God who had abandoned him. It was God who had turned his hand against him and made him walk in darkness. Who was Jesus going to call on? The sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What was Jesus doing? Why had the Lord abandoned him? I want you to listen to these words from Lamentations in chapter 3. But I want you to ask yourself this. Are these words about Jerusalem or are they about Jesus? This comes from Lamentations, 600 years before Jesus. But are the words about Jerusalem or are they about Jesus? Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, the Lord dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. Jerusalem or Jesus? Well, they are one. You see, Jesus was filling up in his body the sins of Jerusalem. He was filling up in his body your sin. My sin. In order to remove them and take them away forever. So that the words of the prophets become true. So far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our sin from us. The injustice that he suffered was for our sakes, so that we should not suffer God's justice. The cross was the ultimate expression of God's compassions, renewed every day for us, placarded for us in Palestine. And the resurrection of Jesus' body was his vindication. He is not dead. He is alive because he trusted in his God, in his Father's, whose compassion never fail. And now Jesus expresses that same compassion from the very throne of heaven. From there, he invites you to cast yourself upon him. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, our Lord Jesus, our King, our Redeemer, our Saviour. So then, friends, here is the question. Do you trust God? Do you trust God no matter what happens, despite everything? Who would you turn to if you lost everything? Who would you turn to if you were suffering from a grave and dreadful illness? Who would you turn to if you were dying? Who will you turn to as you are dying? Above all, who would you turn to if God were angry with you because of your sin and in your conscience you felt the punishment of guilt? When the people of Jerusalem learned how deeply they had offended God, it was too late. The Babylonians were upon them. The greatest lesson in life is this: to learn how deeply I have offended God, and then to turn to him before it is too late, to appeal to him while I live, for his compassion never fails. And why turn to God? Well, there is only one reason, really, to trust anyone, and that is their character. Our God is slow to anger and full of compassion. His mercies never fail. They are new every morning. They spring from the cross every time a sinner looks up and discovered Jesus on the cross for their sakes. They spring from the throne of heaven every time Jesus hears our pleading for a brother or a sister, a loved one or a neighbor. God's mercies spring from his character, his wonderful, eternal, perfect, compassionate, unchanging, steadfast love. You can depend on it.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.